the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarron.
And we're wrapping up our Auto Battler series today with Tag Team. Tag Team is a one-on-one game, so it doesn't really fit with the rest in that way, but you are building up your decks to fight against each other as you just go through the deck, play them against each other, and that's great. What happens, though, is that you start with only two cards, and you smash together these two fighters' decks. And they have different mechanics, they have different tokens you can use. We played with almost all of them with our three games. But yeah, overall, it's a very simple core with a lot of different moving pieces for each different character. Some are low complexity, some are high complexity. So it definitely has a good range of things going on. But really at the core, you are combining two characters together. You get both of their starting cards. That is your initial deck. You choose the order those two cards are in, which is just, you know, one on top, one on the bottom. And then you reveal those two against each other. You resolve the effects on the card simultaneously. And then, you know, if someone deals damage and the other one heals damage, then you'd net those against each other. You wouldn't take damage up and down. A lot of them have different effects that when they get damage a certain amount, a certain effect will happen. And then as you play, after you resolve the attacking action, after you resolve the first go through the deck, you go through and draw three cards from your joint kind of building deck, and you choose a new card to add to those original two.
Joint, and not between the two players, but you have your own deck. The two characters smash together.
You smash together two characters. They have a build deck. Your opponent has the same thing. And then that creates kind of what your... They call it a deck building game, but it's really kind of just like... You're drawing three, pick one.
It's a programming game.
It's a programming game, ultimately.
Because I think the key part here is that the card that you add to your deck, you decide where it goes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so every card you add, you choose the position in your current setup of where it will go, and then you run through the entire program, so to speak, or the entire deck, and compare it to your opponent's. And then once that's over, you take three more cards, choose one, put it into a new spot in the deck, but you never shuffle, you never rearrange the cards that are already there. You only put cards, the new cards, in between or at the beginning or end. And so you're constantly trying to time it differently with your opponent. You learn your opponent's kind of setup. If they have defense cards, you want to make sure you get your attack on the other side of that defense card. Yeah, it's a really cool conversation back and forth as you go through it. Lots of little mechanics, too. Just to kind of add some spice and interesting things going on. But yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So the blocking in particular in this game, I think, feels really good. Because
if you can time that right?
Well, see, that's the thing. Because there are, of course, plenty of games where you fight and you simultaneously reveal cards. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, look at this. I revealed a block card, so your attack does nothing. Which doesn't feel satisfying because it feels kind of arbitrary, right?
Sure.
Like, okay, you're picking a card to reveal simultaneously. It's kind of just random.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in theory, there's mind games, but there aren't really. You're just making a simultaneous choice. But in this game, it's different because you remember what your opponent did the last time around. So right. If you put the card in the right place, this is also a memory game, by the way, you can block them, and you feel clever for blocking them. It's not arbitrary. You placed it exactly right to block them. But, of course, they're also adding a card, so they might shift their cards.
Yeah, it might shift their one in direction, and yours will also be shifted. So,
which means that on the next round, you can try to shift it back so that your block is in the right position.
Right.
So that mechanic of simultaneous reveal, I think, feels very different than normal. And I think this game fixes a key problem with a lot of simultaneous reveal games, which is that they feel arbitrary.
Well, and a lot of the blocking cards give you an extra benefit when you successfully block, which often feels really good. Like, I had a riposte where if I successfully blocked, I attacked. It's like, oh, great, awesome. Or if you successfully block, you might heal, or heal your ally, or heal your partner. And so, yeah, there's a lot of fun little things in there that'll just sprinkle throughout the cards. And also, whoever's card is played is whoever is acting at that time. And that's really interesting. So if you double down on one character, then that means the other character's not going to take any damage, but that one character will take all the damage because they're the main one acting. Yeah. So you need to try to balance it a little bit there too between the two characters.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to mention is I really liked how you're deciding how much you want to flood your deck with one character, but they become more vulnerable. And I don't know if you mentioned this, but you die when one of your characters dies. And I think that's a really key to why this works. Because, yeah, you could power up with one character and maybe get some better combos for that character, but you're risking them taking all the damage, too. Right. So it's pretty clever.
Also, it gives you another way to defend. Because if one of the characters is taking a bunch of hits and can't really take it, you can try to put one of the other characters' cards in those damage spaces to soak up the damage.
Yeah, even like if it's not a block.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So like a soft defense.
Yeah.
I thought it was, the order not changing unless you change a card is very interesting because there's some turns where if I put a card at the end, it's not going to change the pattern.
Right. It's not going to change the rest of it. But
if my opponent puts one card at the beginning, then everything's offset by one, and more chaos will ensue.
Yeah. It reminds me weirdly of Dutch Blitz.
Oh, interesting.
Because you have or Nerds, because you have a similar situation in that game where sometimes you'll try to get a card out of your deck early on to shift all of the other ones so that you can see some cards you haven't seen.
Oh,
yet,
sure.
Since you're going,
three at a time.
Yeah, because you're going three at a time.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's a similar thing here.
Well, and I just loved what they did with every character feeling so unique. Like I didn't mention this all as well, but like each character has 10 cards. And so the first card's automatically something you have and something that automatically runs. It often runs the character's primary mechanic. So like Bodvar is a guy that can turn into a bear. And so his first card is a rage card that once he becomes a bear, he attacks. And the bear is a lot stronger and deals a lot more damage. But that very first card gets you engaged with that mechanic right away.
Yeah.
And just like we have Milady, who is kind of a French revolutionary character with a lot of schemes that have random effects and random impacts. The very first thing she gets is a card that creates one of those schemes. And then when she gets hurt, the schemes automatically will launch a different amounts of damage.
Yeah.
And so she does have cards that, do that again or launch these again. But ultimately, they're engaging you with a mechanic right away with that first card, which I think is really key for games like this.
That's a good point. Yeah. And not all of the starter cards are necessarily even beneficial.
Right.
Like some of them are partially bad or useless.
Or poor.
But they're still, you're right, they're still engaging you with that character's core mechanic.
Because you had the character that would make ships and get more ships. And that really only became more powerful after you get more ships too.
Yeah, I was thinking more of like the Fey ability, which is just lose the game if you're all dead.
Yeah.
Which is good in the sense that it delays losing the game. But
and
it's still
with some cards, the more that are dead, the more powerful you get. And so that's a fun little teeter-totter.
There's also that sheriff one where you have to give the sheriff to your opponent. I don't remember exactly how that worked, but that also seems like a downside.
Yeah, having these different, like if you have a lot of different mechanics that are even just twists on a theme, it's great that you can introduce to someone right away. And then as they're building that character, they understand and they learn that mechanic really well because they're doing it every turn, first turn you only have two cards, then you have three, then four, then five. So you're seeing these cards several times. And so you get really used to it. And like, I really want to make sure I start engaging with this part of that instead of that part. And so you have a lot more flexibility with what you're kind of learning from your characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think my takeaway is going to be the combo of two characters for replayability. Because like the game Smash Up feels like this too, where you take two very different characters and see what happens.
Marvel and unicorns. What?
Sure.
Oh, sure. All right.
Yeah. What's going to happen? And like the core mechanics are, it's like these boards is just an HP track, but usually has some little twists to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cards themselves, each one is not super complicated, but just seeing what happens when you combine these two characters makes anybody want to play multiple times to see every combo, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think my takeaway is the importance of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about this a little like with Challengers 2 and thinking about video games, video game auto battlers.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the best video game auto battlers is Loop Hero.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In Loop Hero, a key part of the game is that you're going around the same path again and again and fighting the same monsters.
Yeah.
And so you get a good sense of how much you can survive a particular encounter and therefore how much more difficult you can make it in the future.
Mm.
You're sort of training yourself on what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, in this game, you are going through the same deck of cards again and again, and you're learning, like, okay, what happens when, you know, when do I need to put these things in? What do I need to be aware of? And having repetition of this sort in a game gives you, I think it does two things. First of all, it gives you foreshadowing for free because you go through the deck, you see everything there is to see, and now next time you know what's coming.
Like, oh, you got that card last time. That's going to hit me really hard next time unless I'm careful.
And it's a very effective method of foreshadowing because you are resolving the things that are going to happen in the future.
Right.
And each time you're just adding a little bit more that you can't anticipate. And
If I was going to put my music composer hat on, it makes me think about why music is so appealing to us too. And it's the repetition. And you get used to what's the chord progression, what's the melody, and you get to hear it multiple times, but just like with a little bit different inflection each time.
And yeah.
And who's like, leading the melody versus, you know.
Yeah. Familiar with a little bit that's different
is
very satisfying to our brains, I guess.
In a lot of art, I think, too,
mm-hmm.
where it's...
Yeah, repetition with minor variation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the other thing I think that repetition accomplishes is feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it very easy to gather and make use of feedback because you're going through the same thing again and again.
Just like Challengers.
Right. Like Challengers. And you can refine your approach to it.
Yeah.
So I think repetition works really well in auto battlers.
Yes.
I think is a major takeaway for me.
Major takeaway. And so I am also going to kind of build on that where, for my takeaway, it's going to be kind of how the, you can start with very little, right? So you don't have to start with the whole game. You can start with just two cards, like for instance, in this game, and those, each card represents different mechanics or different characters, whatever they are. And then you can add more and more to that. I never thought you would start with two cards in a game.
No.
But for auto battlers, like, oh, that helps you learn it. It happens so fast. It resolves so fast. Like, okay, next round. Okay, next round. And same thing.
I learn what my opponent's cards are going to do.
Exactly.
And like, oh, ooh, what is this
What
ability?
Does Bear do again?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's really crazy, like... I always assumed like, oh, maybe like 5 or 6 cards minimum, right? Which is, you know, more in line with what Challengers did. And it's like, actually, you know, even just starting as low as 2 cards or maybe even 1 card that, you know, you draft at the beginning of a game and then you add to that. Like, I think you could really tone those down. And I think that's a great thought.
Yeah. I guess one other thing I noticed, in this game is you have the escalation of the attacks.
That is true. And that's something that I didn't explain. The power cubes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, basically each character has an attack value, which is how much damage they do when they attack. And then over the course of the game, you're getting more and more cubes, which permanently increase your attack.
Right.
And I think this is the main benefit of this to the design of the game is it guarantees that it's going to end.
Right.
Because some characters have quite a lot of healing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I can imagine just, well, like in our game, Trevor, we were just
healing
everything because we both had heal heavy builds. But then as the power cubes ramp up, there it's a natural timer for the game because then, of course...
You're dealing 8 damage, 10 damage instead of 1 or 2. Yeah.
And the healing doesn't ramp up.
And nothing
rarely
takes,
does it, yeah.
I don't think anything took away power cubes either.
Right.
So.
Sometimes you transfer power cubes to like your partner.
Yeah.
But usually that means you still have the same amount of power
and
for your side.
Yeah, and it's very important not to introduce mechanics that take that away because that's
you
the game
timer. You need
the
ramp up. Yeah. Yeah, we're suddenly doing 11 damage, 12 damage, and you only have 19 health. It's like, that's 2 hits. And I have more than 2 attacks in my deck.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss both of those, you're just dead.
Yeah.
Like, you can't block that. Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, I really loved kind of the almost asymmetry of everything, too. Where everything just felt unique enough to make me really want to try other things and see what they were like. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but not heavy asymmetry, light asymmetry.
Yep. I liked it a lot more than I was expecting, considering, I don't know, it just seems like, oh, yeah, just an HP track and
right.
some cards that are going to do damage and stuff. And actually, no, the characters felt very different than each other.
It's the repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think that's what really makes this game work so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, you're right, with auto battlers in general, you want repetition. You want that continued kind of going back through the paces again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up Tag Team. Tune in next time as we do our bonus wrap-up episode on Auto Battlers.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.